WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. First Lady Jill Biden testing positive for COVID. Her spokesman saying Dr. Biden has mild symptoms. White House saying President Biden has tested negative for COVID this evening. More aggressive campaigning today. Union members in Philadelphia. President Biden saying his economic policies are working with a strong jobs market and good union jobs under projects funded by the infrastructure law.
There is no quit in America. None. All I hear from my friends on the other side is what they say is wrong with America. They keep telling us America's failing. They're wrong.
Republican presidential candidates campaigning in Salem, New Hampshire. That includes former Vice President Mike Pence.
And time and again, New Hampshire has been there to make sure that we had just the right leadership, and I know you'll do it again.
Singer-songwriter Gary Wright has died. He had top 40 hits including Dreamweaver and Love is Alive. This is ABC News. Several thousand homeless wildfire victims in Hawaii need help.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green says the state is nearing a plan to put Maui fire victims into long-term housing paid for by the government for at least the next 18 months. Right now, they're in hotels and Airbnbs, which need to go back to serving tourists. And parents have been angry about the fluid plan for schools to reopen in West Maui. Governor Green saying,
"We will also be announcing soon a school solution for the region for all of those families, children, and teachers that so badly need to have a location to go to in the near future."
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Set back in the global effort to isolate Moscow.
A White House official saying the U.S. believes North Korean leader Kim Jong-un expects to meet with President Putin in Russia. With Moscow desperate for more weapons to use against Ukraine, the New York Times reporting in exchange, North Korea wants advanced technology for its satellites and nuclear submarines.
ABC's Britt Clement. Andy Field, ABC News.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by NACDI's Four Sisters Farmers Market, which happens every Thursday on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis from 11 to 3.
You know, I'll be there tomorrow, too, in between on my little lunch break, getting that fry bread pizza. Hey, I was at the Brandi Carlile concert last night, 10th row, and I missed a pick by, like, about, well, 3 rows, but it was close. And it was just a great spiritual experience. What a great performer. And just a shout out to Brandi Carlile. Hey, we got a jam-packed show, and we have the executive director of Merge Wisconsin, Arvina Martin. Right now, it's all Ho-Chunk here on Native Roots Radio, and we like it that way. Ho-wah, welcome.
Ho-wah.
Wongshik Wednesday.
Yes, exactly. So how are you? It seems like I haven't talked to you in a while. We're, you know, kind of spaced out here at the Minnesota get-together, and Haley calls it the Minnesota Great Sweat-Together, and we have our booth, yep. Native Roots Trading Post, out at the fair, so I've been visiting my Weeha and Hinu and telling them to get off their phone and start selling stuff. Ho!
That sounds like a pretty good, you know, pretty good way to be.
Exactly. Well, what's happening in a mad city? My second favorite city in the country, literally.
Things are going great. We actually had a lovely day today. It was sunny and didn't get higher than 72 degrees, which is exciting for us because our air conditioning doesn't work at our house right now. So it's nice to have some cool weather, you know, before we get before the repair guys can come in and take care of everything for us. So
yeah, that's crazy. Well, that is good. And I know here in the Twin Cities by the weekend, we're going to be in the hundreds. And to me, there's no difference between 1,000,000 degrees and 100 degrees.
And I was planning, before I knew what the weather was going to be like, to go to Black River Falls for our Labor Day powwow, and now I'm like, maybe that's not a great idea for you, Arvina. Yeah. You don't do well in heat.
I know, no one does. Hey, I was at watched the parade at the fairgrounds, and the St. Paul Roller Derby was in the fair, the Roller Girls, and that was really exciting. And I thought of you and all the great things that you do and for the community. You know, for me, the fair, the state fair at Minnesota has always been, it's back to school. As a former teacher, it's back to school. Right after Labor Day, we get the students. But it's also like political time. And, you know, we got school boards and things like that and lions and tigers and bears coming up. What's going on in the great state of Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. So we have a rare fall with or a rare stretch of time without any elections. We don't have any fall elections this year. So our next set of elections will be spring of 2024. And yeah, that includes school boards. And, you know, the right wing is really pushing candidates and pushing for people that think like them and are the kinds of folks that want to tell, you know, students that slaves learned valuable skills that help them in their lives and, you know, and other non-truths, et cetera. And so, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the idea that we need more Native people on school boards. Up and down, wherever you are in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, you know, we don't have enough Native people that are on school boards that can help, you know, protect curriculum to be, you know, authentic and educational and real, I guess. I mean, we're to the point where you know, the other side is trying to put in like actual lies about things and change things because they're afraid it's going to make somebody feel bad instead of understanding that, you know, you can love your country and still be critical of it. And that's okay. It's okay to be critical of events in the past because that's how you get better. And, you know, I think that when it comes to, you know, both educating Native students in a safe and respectful environment, as well as educating non-Native students about Native people, again, in a safe and a respectful environment, is really important. And I think that we need to have more Native people on school boards because we're able to kind of bring voice to those concerns and those are things that are on our minds and they're not, you know, they won't get swept under the rug if we have people championing those things. And, you know, I think about how every year we hear about students that are banned from having either beadwork on their graduation cap or having an eagle feather on their graduation cap and how ridiculous that is and right. how that could be helped by having someone of that student's background, having a Native person in a position of power and that has a platform to speak and that people will listen to. I think it's really, really important, especially when kids, you know, have to tell somebody at their school that, you know, their team played somebody with a Native mascot and all of their schoolmates, even if it's not their school, you know, that has the mascot, they go to these games and have to see all kinds of horrible things. You know, people saying scalp the Indians or, you know, just tomahawk chops, just really offensive visual images, you know, just things that are antithetical to an educational experience, you know, for anybody.
Well, you know what's weird, or not weird, what's really cool, we need to stay vigilant here in Minnesota, but this year, Haley, help me out, there's a new law that Native American history is it's a law in Minnesota where they have to teach Native American history.
Yeah. So the legislators just kind of snuck this into like a wording of the bill
one of the bills that was passed. So yeah, it's now a requirement that K through 12 teachers have to teach Indigenous history in the classroom.
That's a great first step. We have something similar in Wisconsin. It's referred to as Act 31. But unfortunately, there's no like enforcement mechanism or there's no teeth to it. So, you know, if people don't teach about it, nothing happens. So in a lot of cases, there are so many schools in Wisconsin that don't do this because nothing's going to happen to them if they don't. And I hope that Minnesota has some better enforcement mechanisms involved in their in your law over there than we have over here. So
what a great point. What a great point. And that's what I mean. We have to stay vigilant and not relax because politicians change, governors change, and we still have to do what you do and how you work with women with Emerge Wisconsin. And maybe we can talk a little bit more about what's happening with Emerge Wisconsin and how people
Absolutely.
Can get a hold of you and just that's rock the vote. That's get going here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Hey, we're here with Arvina Ho-Chunk. Ho! Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake and I'm Woke. Whoa. Hey.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Outfront Minnesota is the state's largest LGBTQ+ advocacy organization, and they're celebrating our state's accomplishments protecting our LGBTQ+ neighbors. This is especially important as surrounding states are passing legislation targeting our trans community. But here in Minnesota, we made it clear, you belong here. Minnesota's LGBTQ+ rights have taken a significant step forward with the conversion therapy ban and the Trans Refuge Bill, helping reshape the national discourse. The trailblazers who once championed same-sex marriage a decade ago continue propelling Minnesota towards an even brighter future. To celebrate these accomplishments, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ+ rights and order your tickets at outfront.com.
Did you know there are easy ways to support your child's brain development during their critical early years from age 0 to 3? Little Moments Count is a website which provides tools to help parents engage in simple, everyday activities like talking, playing, reading, and singing with their children. Visit littlemomentscount.org for resources and support in giving your child a strong foundation for a lifetime of learning. That's littlemomentscount.org. littlemomentscount.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, CEO or Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and I'll have to get schooled after the show by Haley. What's the difference between CEO and Executive Director? So, hey, we're here and we're talking politics and we're talking school board a little bit. And, you know, that's one thing I think the other side is really kind of concentrating on, too, because we hear these wacky school board meetings of people that don't have children in the school, don't live in the area, and it's sounding like they're all upset and they're just in there flaming the fire. Arvina, you're on mute.
Every time I start talking, I'm just excited to say things, and I'm always muted every time. What I was trying to say, or was starting to say, is that the you know, the right wing has actively recruited all of those people, and the left and the progressives are starting to do the same, and actively recruiting candidates for local offices in particular. We kind of refer to that as building the bench, so that, you know, the folks that are that are starting in local offices, maybe they ultimately want to run for a state office or a federal office too, and they're kind of getting experience, you know, serving on a legislative body at a more local level. And we on the left need to make sure that we're doing that as well. The problem is that, you know, a lot of people that make up the left, you know, especially for BIPOC people of color, for women, that, you know, we might not see ourselves as qualified, and the same way that somebody from the right is convinced that they're qualified. And it's a really difficult hurdle to jump over. And I just want to say to anybody who's considering running, for any Native person who's considering running for office, you are qualified. You are qualified. You are qualified. You have experiences that very likely other people that serve on whatever body you're looking to run for, that they don't have. And those experiences are going to widen the view of that particular body, and you're going to be able to make much better legislation that helps more people with less effort. And that's always something that is positive. And going back to school boards, you know, you were a student, you've been to school, you know how that works. Maybe you're a parent. That's another outstanding point of view and frame of reference that you can bring to serving on a school board. But, you know, if you've been to school, you know, you've got, or if you've been educated, which I, you know, assume most are, you know, you have that experience as a student, and, you know, you can see how things are different from when you were there, where we're in school, either positive or negative, and can take a look at some of the issues that are facing our students these days.
You know, Arvina, and you're an former elected official, and you know, I've been to the Capitol here. Well, I've been to both capitals, Madison and St. Paul here, and they're people. They listen to you, and I think that's a thing that we have, that, you know, Emerge and you talking about Emerge and running for office really demystifies it. If you go to the Capitol and talk to these people, they're just people. They put their shoes on one shoe at a time.
Exactly. I think that for the longest time we've held elected officials, no matter what their level of services, to such a high standard, or we think of them as occupying this very high up space, when really they're just regular people that, you know, want to watch the Packer game on Sunday. Sorry for my Minnesota fans here, but I had to throw that in, you know, and want to make sure that, you know, kids are growing up in a safe and healthy environment. And, you know, when you start meeting those folks, it starts, the whole barrier seems to break down, and it is a lot easier to see the people that are making the decisions for us, that they are just regular people, just like us, you know, and that there isn't some kind of special candidate tree that they fell off of, or somebody picked out and was like, oh, this one's ready to go. You know?
Yeah, first school board, then city council, then state representative, then state senator, then president. Isn't that how it used to go? Something like that.
You know, something like that. And you know, a lot of these local races or local positions are, they're not full time. So you don't have to give up your job. You know, you can keep going about your regular life. You just have, you know, a little less free time because you've got meetings to go to in some evenings and yeah, emails to answer from constituents.
Well, that's talk about the, you know, and I always like to talk about call to action. That's get your website, get the information out there. You know, every time we see each other, I want to blast that out there and
yes,
tell people what's up.
Yes. Emerge Wisconsin. You can check us out, wi.emergeamerica.org, and pay attention because on Monday, September 4th, aka Labor Day, we are going to be opening up our applications. So for any women or any non-binary folks that feel comfortable in female-centered spaces, please go on Monday or after to apply to our program. You can also reach me at Arvina, A-R-V-I-N-A, at emergewi.org. If you have any questions about running for office, just generally, or, you know, maybe you are listening from outside of Wisconsin, and I'd be happy to help you figure out and find resources in the state where you live to be able to, you know, get you started on a journey to public service. So we are here to help you.
That's exciting. 100%. And when you say help, too, it's if somebody feels uncomfortable in the beginning, I mean, Emerge and yourself personally will help people get through things in the beginning because it's overwhelming. I mean, you know, my job, it's taken me 2 years to figure out what's going on. And you know what? I still don't know what's going on.
Well, and that's the great thing about participating in a program like Emerge is that we have hundreds of alums that are excited for you and want to help you out. And maybe they've gone through something similar and they can help you kind of work your way through some of the things that are more difficult. Maybe you have, you know, you get nervous when public speaking and somebody can help you and listen to you while you practice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just a whole kind of camaraderie that comes with this, a program like Emerge. And, you know, that is a huge help, you know, even without all of the other trainings and the nuts and bolts that you learn, having someone who can relate to you and you can either vent to or, you know, talk to during your whole electoral process. I mean, that's a really important thing because running for office is weird. And if you haven't done it, so, like, it's hard to kind of understand how weird it is and how to be on all the time and have to, you know, have to be able to pull certain talking points out of your head at the drop of a hat and talking, having conversations all day, but still feeling alone because, you know, you're talking to constituents and not people that know you well. Like it's something that you really need to have someone who's been through it to kind of help you process your own feelings about it. I think it's so helpful.
Hey, did you ever hear the story of me meeting Obama here in Milwaukee this past year?
I did not.
I had a few things to tell him, you know, what's up, hey, free Leonard Peltier, tell your buddy Biden, you know, and I had all these things, and we were in front of the line to get our picture taken with him, and then he reached out his hand, and he said, hi, how are you doing, and smiled at me. I wanted to hug him and kiss him, and then 13 seconds later, I got a picture taken, and I was gone.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Those photo lines go really quick, and when I met President Biden last spring and I introduced him, told him I'm Ho-Chunk and welcome to our ancestral homeland. He got, his eyes got big and he kind of put his hands up in the air and he goes, I love it when Native people remind all of us that they're citizens of other nations. And he gave me the biggest hug and I just was like, whoa, like, okay. That's not how, I don't know how I expected this to go, but that certainly wasn't it.
Well, I was going to tell him what's up. Hey, talk to Biden. And next thing you know, 13 seconds later, I wanted to hug and kiss him. And I shook his hand, got a picture, and it was gone.
Absolutely. It's, I mean, even the coolest of the cool kind of lose it when you meet the president, you know, it's
or the former president, right?
Yep.
Yep. Obama to us was a rock star here. It was like amazing. Well, Arvina, it's time to say see you later. I really appreciate you stopping in. Appreciate your energy and all you do for us as a Ho-Chunk, but as a representative Ho-Chunk person in Wisconsin and across Turtle Island. You're dynamite and emerge.
Mino and the Mayor in the Morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. First Lady Jill Biden testing positive for COVID. Her spokesman saying Dr. Biden has mild symptoms. White House saying President Biden has tested negative for COVID this evening. More aggressive campaigning today. Union members in Philadelphia. President Biden saying his economic policies are working with a strong jobs market and good union jobs under projects funded by the infrastructure law.
There is no quit in America. None. All I hear from my friends on the other side is what they say is wrong with America. They keep telling us America's failing. They're wrong.
Republican presidential candidates campaigning in Salem, New Hampshire. That includes former Vice President Mike Pence.
And time and again, New Hampshire has been there to make sure that we had just the right leadership, and I know you'll do it again.
Singer-songwriter Gary Wright has died. He had top 40 hits, including Dreamweaver and Love is Alive. This is ABC News.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/list.
Offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, that was awesome. Wendy's here, too, off camera, and we are here with Dr. Maureen Hackett, founder of Howling for Wolves, and always great to see you, you know, and great for all the work you do.
Boo-hoo, Wakunja Hade. Did I get your name right?
Yeah, you spoke a little Ojibwe, too, and threw out some Ho-Chunk in there. That's awesome. There yeah, welcome. Really good to see you. What's happening? We got some updates coming up here. And Wendy's.
I thought I'd have a slow summer. Oh. I thought we would have a slow summer. Oh, I'm doing the Trump thing. Anyway, but instead, it's been quite busy. Let's see, what would I like to say? First of all, a big publication came out in early June that showed us what we thought was really happening, and that is that with wolf hunts comes more illegal wolf killing. Mm. And so this was a study that analyzed the Minnesota DNR's own data, 16 years of collared wolf data, that basically found human-caused wolf mortality more than tripled with the hunts and continued for 5 years after the hunts ended till the end of the data. This is in Minnesota. This is Minnesota's own data. The author is a geneticist, actually, and a computational biologist. Let's see if we can. And it was published in Nature Scientific Reports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have a link to this. Everybody has access. At Howling for Wolves, if you look at our press latest news, it's on the front page, the July 10th release will tell you all about this. So I used this in a meeting with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources on August 17th when they had a finalization of the wolf plan. And I requested that they reevaluate the wolf plan in light of this data and really the study in 2023 of the wolves killed outside of national parks and how it disrupts their packs. So I've been busy trying to figure out a way to get wolf hunting both out of the wolf plan in Minnesota mm-hmm. and also continue the push to have wolf hunting prohibited in the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So I will let you jump in because we have more even from there. So go ahead.
Well, Wendy, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first, Maureen, hi. Thank you so much, Dr. Hackett, for being here. We always appreciate your expertise about our Minnesota wolves, which we are always working on saving at, every day. A friend of mine inboxed me privately on Facebook. I don't know if you know anything about this at all, but her daughter's best friend lives in Duluth, and she's asking if anyone knows about a tribe up there that is putting down leg traps for wolves where they hunt. And she just said, it seems really odd to me that this would be happening. You know, I've asked around a little bit, but nobody has any information about it. So I wanted to ask that. And I also wanted to let everyone know that at the Minnesota State Fair, you can go to the Senate booth and the House of Representative booth inside the education building, and they have a survey, and you could actually say and fill out on that survey that you want to end wolf hunting in Minnesota. So I wanted to throw that out there as well.
Yes, and actually that's in the education building. Both the Senate and the House for the legislature have booths there, and they have a survey they give every year. And I'm really impressed that they have that question. And I will say that Howling for Wolves had nothing to do with that. Not that I'm proud of that necessarily, but, and we would just encourage people to do that. Now, somebody told me there was an online version and I haven't had a chance to look for it. I'm wondering if anybody else has had a chance. Cause that would be great if we could push that online, survey. It would really, really be helpful for people to continue to push their legislators to tell them that they want wolf hunting prohibited. It's going to, my worry is after this publication and in combination with some other news that I got at this meeting August 17th, which included livestock producers are complaining more and conflicts are being confirmed more and wolves are being killed more practically than ever. They have reached the number of wolves they killed as all of last year already, and they have two more months. This in combination with a comment made by the Voyagers Wolf Project director, Tom Gables, the researcher, he stated on WCCO radio that the pack territories are no longer delineated precisely the way they usually are. So I am concerned that we have broken up a lot of packs and there's a lot of chaos and it's creating a lot of problems with livestock conflicts and broken packs that are just getting into trouble. And I'm worried we're in a cycle. Now, to answer your question, I have no idea, Wendy, about those traps. The USDA Wildlife Services usually do the trapping and it's generally for killing. If these are research traps, I suppose they have pads on the traps to try to protect the paws, but the USDA person may know that other people are trapping. He may know about that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I will check that out.
Yeah. And I can give you his contact information. I could just call him. You just tell me where these traps are. I could just call him and find out because he does answer my calls. I was impressed with how much of an impression Howling for Wolves had made on the Wolf Plan panels. And I was able to sit in on the technical group and plead that they evaluate this paper on the human caused mortality. And frankly, the paper that the DNR cooperated in publishing that this paper was in response to, they saw a huge increase in human caused mortality too. They just didn't believe their data because of the way they were using some Bayesian modeling, which is too complicated for me even, but it's trying to connect dots in a smooth line and their dots don't connect in a smooth line because it was like a kind of a steady wolf mortality before the hunts at about 20%. And then November 2012, it jumps up. So it's not a straight line. It's a discontinuity, which was the difference in the two papers. Mm. The second paper did a discontinuity analysis and showed exactly with the initiation of the hunts, the bump up in the mortality, and it stayed up. The trend stayed up. So we're very concerned, and we have to push. We have to push to get wolf hunting out because it turns on wolf killing, and it cannot be controlled.
Yeah. Wow. Really good points. Wendy, you have anything else?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Maureen. And if anybody's out there at the Minnesota State Fair, stop into those booths and fill out that survey. Also, I guess we can just try Googling to see if there is the one online. That would be really helpful for people who can't make it out there in person. And
take a photo of yourself, send it to Howling for Wolves on Facebook or info@howlingforwolves.com or, you know, just try to help us pump up the action, you know, on Instagram, share it with us. We have Howling Number 4 Wolves on Instagram. Send it to Native Roots Radio. They'll send it to me. So, you know, we want to just kind of increase the traffic there.
It sounds great. We always appreciate all of your advocacy for our Minnesota wolves, Maureen.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You guys are great. Keep it up. Miigwech.
Well, yeah. And we, and Pinigigi, because like Ho-Chunk are called the people of the sacred voice, Pinigigi is thank you in Ho-Chunk.
I like that word, Pinigigi. It's really sweet. So I enjoy this. Anyway, I'm going to come out and see you at the fair too.
Right on. You'll see our daughters because Wendy and I are semi-retired and Wendy's really retired. We just go by every once in a while and tell them to get off their phones and then we go do our fair thing.
The fair is grueling if you're running a booth.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard. We did it last year. We were there every single day for 12 days. It is hard. It's fun, though, also.
Can be energizing, but I found Wendy is a, I'm an extrovert, and Wendy is an introvert, yeah. And I really experienced it. I would get, you know, excited, or I'd get energy from it, and you would get energy sucked from you. And I saw it from, it was crazy, and I finally believed you after all these years.
Yes. Howling for Wolves was there for 7 years, and we probably will get back there. But I get energy from, obviously.
Right on. Well, let's make this plan to action. Go to the fair, the education building, and fill out that survey. And then also your call to action, Dr. Maureen.
Well, I just think we all have to keep on the governor. You know, it's mm-hmm. going to come down to the governor and lieutenant governor. If you guys have a chance, ask her. Because, you know, when they're not in office, if we don't get the bill passed,
right.
The DNR will do their new plan, which is really an old plan with new dressing.
Yeah,
seriously. Definitely. It has a few things. It has some good stuff about consultation with tribes. It does. And it has mm-hmm. things about keeping the ecological function of wolves. But it still has weird, crazy reasons for a wolf hunt that are not true.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Hackett, for stopping in, founder of Howling for Wolves. And we appreciate your support, but also all you do for our relatives with tails and hooves and little big noses.
Aww. Oh, guys, did you see that we bought guard dog pups? We got Mary Falk of Love Tree Farms. She sells really delicious organic cheeses at the St. Paul Fair, and she's an organic farmer who has sheep, and we purchased Howling for Wolves, got her some livestock guard dog puppies to help replace some of the adults she lost. And they're really cute, and you can see the pup dates on our Facebook page.
All right.
And hey. Instagram.
All right. Hey, thanks, Dr. Hackett, for stopping in. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Ho-wah.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You've heard me talk about the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program. Now hear from someone who's actually done it, me. Our kid's car, the 2006 Toyota Sienna, served us well for 17 years, but it was finally time to say goodbye. The We Buy program is really simple. I gave them some basic information, we set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they gave me an estimate and a check, and they made me a generous offer. It was that fast. See for yourself. Try the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolette Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul, bringing you only the best coffee roasted to perfection.
Wow, good read. Hey, yes, we're here with Bob Blake from Red Lake, and we're here listening and going in anticipation with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Welcome, Bob.
Oh, wow.
I got the pause button there. All right. Hey, welcome.
I listened to the Howling for Wolves lady. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's been a sponsor for a long time, and we support her work. And, the wolves are so important to us Native Americans. I mean, our lieutenant governor is in the wolf clan. So, you know, that just right there says it all.
My Ingen. Is how we say it in the wolf and Ojibwe, and of course Robert, your friend, his Native American name was Chimayingan, which means big wolf.
Really?
Yeah. So that was his name. Yeah. And of course us, you know, that was his Native American name. So Robert, lots happening. Okay. Yep. Let's start with what's happening down in Florida with the hurricane. And there has been 19 states that have activated 25,000 line workers, linemen, that they go up and they fix the power lines. Mm-hmm. And they've been activated to, go and stand by, and they're currently putting back power to, the state of Florida. Florida and that whole kind of Gulf region there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some deaths and people missing again. It's tragic, and it's like 2 years in a row, Robert, that they had a big hurricane in Florida.
And I think, I think that what we need to start thinking about, right, as we move forward, is like how, how do we start burying the power lines in the ground, because, there's going to be so many of these inclement weather events now, that, it's just going to happen with more severity, with more intensity. And, I just don't know how we start mitigating, the risk, right, for our communities across the country. Another story here, Robert, is that experts say the increasing severity of weather events, including 7 tornadoes that touched down in Michigan last week, shows that the effects of climate change are becoming more noticeable. So, we know this because we've been talking about this for the last couple of years on the show, but the severity of these storms now, before these scientists couldn't actually connect them and say that the severity of these storms are connected straight to climate change. Now they're saying they are connected they can say for a scientific fact that they are connected. So,
yeah, I've been hearing that more and more in the media too, finally, and by politicians and directly saying that, and weathermen or weather people.
Well, yeah. And the other one too, Robert, and we know that this has happened though, but the record-breaking wildfires that are happening up in Canada due to climate change are contributing to poor air quality. And of course, what just happened out in Hawaii too. So, we're seeing more and more of these. The bottom line is that we're seeing more and more of these, events that are directly caused by climate change, and so we really do need to start taking this very, very seriously, Robert. But I've got some good news here to everyone that is listening. And we are well positioned to see climate pollutions, greenhouse gas emissions, drop by 40% below 2005 levels by 2030 if we implement all of these plans that are currently being put up by the Department of Energy, all of this solar that we could install. We need to be able to have, other governments, other state governments take up a plan of getting to net zero. Robert, more importantly, we need investments like pension funds, state funds. Mm-hmm. We need these places to start investing into companies that are going to have good ESG goals, environmental social governance goals, because mm-hmm. not only can we get to this level before 2005, if we do this, you know, it really is going to take all of us voting with our money, you know, honestly, when it comes right down to it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk a lot of politics, but, you know, Biden's releasing money for infrastructure and for solar and for natives to do it. And I know you're working with some tribes, and hopefully you'll be working with one out in Wisconsin very soon here. It's there for the picking, and you just have to have, you have to have the vision.
Yeah. And we do, you know, and like Robert said, you know, Native Son is going for a major grant with all the tribes, you know, to do a solar for all, you know, and you know, it's so important that we start preparing our communities right now for all of this climate change, so we can keep on the power for, you know, our elders, you know, that need the breathing machines. They need to keep their diabetes medication cold, you know, and so forth. So it's really, it is really important. Hey, Robert, I just got a few more statistics that I want to tell you real quick. Yeah. In 2022, yeah. Wind power accounted for 22% of new electricity capacity. And it was only second to solar. And get this, right? 125,000 Americans now, you know, are working in that wind industry. So that, I think that's just incredible. And the statistics only get bigger with solar, because obviously you need more people to deploy solar. But, you know, think about all these jobs that are being created. So, you know, this guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, or this, you know, this Republican candidate who's out there, you know, talking bad about renewable energy and, you know, they're not creating jobs. It's a dead end. This guy is a car salesman. I just want everybody to know this. He is a straight car salesman, and he does not know what he's talking about, because the statistics speak for themselves, Robert.
Yeah, definitely. Now, there's a lot of that, too. I've heard from politicians in the past, and I still hear them quote some crazy stuff, but not have any, you know, where they got that was like, I don't know, the bathroom wall or something, because nobody, they're not telling us where they're getting their information, and they say these outlandish things like that.
And I want to let everybody know right now that I'm getting that these statistics that I'm reading to you, the statistic right here that I'm going to read you right now off the Department of Energy statistic website, and wind energy is one of the cheapest energy sources nationwide and generates enough electricity to power more than 43 million homes. It's got the sources to cite it too. So, you know, Solar Bear is not just telling you something that he's picking up from out of the left field here, like, you know, some of these Republican. I'm just watching some of these guys talk, and Robert, they're literally, it's garbage they're throwing out there. So I want everybody to understand that, please make sure that the information that you're getting is correct. I'm listening to these guys because, sorry, Robert, I'm a policy geek. I like to watch the races, yeah. Even if they're Republicans.
Yeah.
But these guys have just got the wrong information, and they're spitting it out, and I feel so terrible for people that are listening to them.
Well, you know, it was interesting when we were in school, and when Wendy and I were in school, wasn't the social studies teacher always the coach? So now we're really being affected by that. I'm just kidding, but I'm throwing out there.
Yeah. And you want to know something too, you know, it really comes back to all of, you know, back in 1982 when, you know, the Reaganomics was like, you know, government is the enemy, right? And you looked at that, government was the enemy, so let's cut all the resources to the schools. And yeah. Now we're starting to pay for it, Robert.
Big time. Hey, Bob, thanks for stopping in. It's been a great show. What a way to end it. Thank you so much. Solar Bear with the Solar News, Robert Blake from Red Lake. And I want to thank Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin and Dr. Maureen Hackett of Howling for Wolves. Oh, we'll see you tomorrow.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Outfront Minnesota is a driving force behind LGBTQ plus advocacy in our state, and they're gearing up to honor our state's month.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard.